Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is the Reverend Rock Dog, and I'm the announcer for the Radio Happy Hour. You may recognize my voice from such clips as... This is a Dr. Blogstein exclusive. And who can forget this little gem? Justin the Mouthinator. I'm here to welcome you to part one of the Best of Blogstein 2009. You're about to hear some of the funniest, most interesting and exciting moments and interviews over the past year. Let's get to the action.
Here's the Radio Happy Hour, Dr. Blogstein. Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock, Dr. Blogstein. Dr. Blogstein. Freaking news and groovy guests, north and south and east to west. Put your boundaries to the test with Dr. Blogstein. Well, 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 I'm glad you're here. Well, well. Sit on down and here you'll find Dr. Blogstein. If you've got things on your mind, call Dr. Blogstein. Dr. Blogstein. Don't annoy, he'll throw a fit. Bubble chaos and funny shit. Grab a chair, he's on the air. Dr. Blogstein. Here on the Radio Happy Hour.
And a happy new year to everybody out there. It's another year of the Radio Happy Hour. New shows. This is not part three of the Best of Blogstein. This is a brand new show. Dangerous.
It will be on the Best of Blogstein next year.
This may very well be Best of Blogstein 2009. But there's a lot of Radio Happy Hour to go before then. Dangerous, how are you?
We're back.
Yes, we are. How you feeling, my queen?
I'm feeling dangerous. How are you feeling?
I am feeling fantastic. I'm very happy for our friend Vinny Bond to announce that he is going to marry his lady friend, Nancy.
Yeah, congrats. What made you decide to jump the broom at your age, Vinny? What's up?
At your age?
At my age?
Why not just be committed? Come on. What's up with the walking
fair question.
Down the aisle?
No, it's a fair question. Fair question. One of the reasons, we want to be together. And with her two sons, that would not be possible for 5 years. And we don't want to wait that long.
Huh?
So she wouldn't move in with you with her kids.
I wouldn't move in with her and the boys unless we were married. I don't think that's the right thing to show them. Plus, there's also a situation that I will not go into that causes her not to allow that to happen.
Uh-huh.
But I wouldn't do that. You know, I mean, not with, you know, a 14 and a 17 year old. That's not, you know, no.
How do they feel about this? Will you be their dad?
No, I'm not their dad. They have a dad.
And will you be a father figure, or are you still always going to be
Uncle
their
Vinny?
Mother's boyfriend? Yeah, Uncle Vinny. Yeah. What are you going to be to them?
I'm Vinny.
Just
Vinny. I'm Vinny. I'm a friend. If they want to talk, they can come and talk to me. If I think that they're doing something that doesn't make a lot of sense, I'll talk to them like a friend. I'm just an older friend. I'm just not their father. That's not the situation we're in. Like I said, they have a father who's in their life.
So you're not an authority figure.
I do not foresee me being a disciplinarian, no.
Yeah.
That's not my spot. That's not my place.
Yeah. You get along to the
kids. That's kind of up in age, too, 14 and 17. I mean, it's past that.
Yeah.
Know.
Yeah. It's not like they're 5 and 7, you know, or whatever. We get along and everything's fine. Her younger son plays baseball, you know, which is obviously my favorite sport. And her older son has played football and track, and you know, is an athlete, and we get along very well.
And how do they feel about you marrying their mother?
It's, you know, I've been around for 15 months now. I think it's, as it is with my son who's 21, it's going to take them a little while to just get totally, you know, into the whole situation.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that. You've been with us longer than 15 months, and I'm still not used to you.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, I've been with me for 54 years, and I'm not used to me, so there you go.
Congratulations, Vinny. It's wonderful.
It is
Thank
wonderful.
You. Thank you. Yes, Dr. A in the chat room, welcome to the Vinny Bond Show.
Well, to make Dr. A and the rest of the chat room and everybody happy, I will continue the Vinny Bond Show, because I put this little thing together for you. It's kind of a retrospective of Vinny's love life, or his relationship with Nancy, from pre-Nancy to a clip from the vlog that he had on his website earlier this week.
You stole the audio from that, huh?
I stole audio from that, of course. I get it from wherever I can. Now, the first clip you're going to hear is from way back in June of 07. And then you're going to hear stuff from the fall of 07. So when you hear about Thanksgiving and you hear about New Year's, that's last year. Until you hear the announcement that he's getting married, that is obviously this year. So without further ado, our tribute to Vinny. All right, thank you very much, everybody. Go to AskMen.com, go to Amazon.com, and buy yourself a copy of From the Bar to the Bedroom. Hey, what do you think, Vinny?
Well, it's, you know, look, I'm probably not the demographic for this book.
Why, because you're so good at it?
Well, no, not that at all. I'm just thinking, well, I mean, it appears I'm heading back to the dating scene, so maybe I am the demographic for this book. But
well, what happened?
It's just like, I'm living by myself now, you know that. You know, I don't know what, you know, I don't think it's going to change soon, so there's going to have to be something moving forward.
Oh, I thought that was a because of a job or a business.
Well, it's,
Well, I stumbled upon something a little bit more personal than a kidney stone, huh?
Vinny,
you are not in my chat room. Where are you?
I'm actually out on the soccer pitch.
What?
I'm watching a soccer game.
It's a match, isn't it? A soccer match?
Soccer match. I said soccer pitch.
Well, what kind of... Yeah,
the pitch is where they play. I'm at a soccer match.
Why are you... What kind of soccer match? Who's?
Friend's son.
A friend's
both
son.
Both of her sons are playing. Yeah.
Dangerous.
Yes, dear.
She's giggling in the background. I hear her. Good evening, Dangerous.
Hey, baby.
How are you, baby?
I'm
feel better.
I'm
Dangerous.
Here.
Dangerous. Is there a quicker way in your pants than going to your daughter's recitals?
Is there a quicker way? Yeah, you could give me some moolah. That's a quick way.
Vinny, who is this friend?
Just a friend, Doc.
Oh, well, you
just a friend.
Say it like that. You're going to have to give us a little bit more details there.
Yeah.
You know.
Is this a female friend?
Well,
it would be.
Yeah. Oh, is this the same female friend that you had in the room a couple months
no,
ago?
No. Totally
you're
different.
There. Oh, what a dog. Nice.
Totally different.
I didn't know you had it like that, Vinny.
I don't really have it like that. You said a couple of months ago and now tonight. I don't have it like that, Dangerous. That's 2 months between. That's 2 months between them.
You wouldn't let it in me, baby.
How old is the kid that you're watching?
One is 16 and one is 13.
Wow, you're robbing the cradle, huh? Your son's in college.
Yes, he is.
Look at that, dating young. I like it.
No, not really, but we can talk about something else now.
Did you spend Thanksgiving with your new snuggly muffin?
I actually was invited to her family's home, her brother's home down in Mississippi. And I
went all the way to Mississippi. Wow. All right.
Well, it's getting serious, huh?
Yeah.
it's moving along slowly, and it's very enjoyable, and yeah.
You're not planning on rushing into anything, are you?
No, I never rush.
All right. Keep it slow. I mean, you've been through a lot this year. Let's, I'm looking out for you.
Just enjoying life. Just enjoying life, and I appreciate that, sir.
Yeah, play the field a little bit. work it out with your new radio fame. Vinny Bond, you have a new relationship brewing. Your significant other was outed on the internet by you.
What?
You know, yeah, you know, Dangerous, how vague was he all of November, December when we asked him about who he's dating, who he's seeing? How vague
was
he?
At the games and stuff?
At the game. He was so shady, right?
Yeah, what's up,
man?
What's up?
Lee,
you have to understand there's a time and a place to make the announcement. I had to wait for certain things in my life to be adjusted so that I could make the announcement.
Okay, so what's going on?
Well, what's going on is I've been dating a woman named Nancy. Since we met, our first real date was November 10th. And things are going very well. And when I got back from San Antonio, it was her birthday, and I cooked her dinner, and then she came with me to Terns for New Year's Eve, and that's when she truly got outed.
Right after midnight, though, all by ourselves, I asked Nancy to marry me. And then a little while later, we recreated it in the kitchen for all of our guests to join in and get some pictures for us. Nancy said yes, and I'm the happiest guy in the world.
Let me get into Vinny's wedding, because I know that's what everybody wants to hear about. This past weekend, I was in Memphis to witness the nuptials of Vinny Bond, our wonderful co-host, and Nancy, his now bride, his newlywed.
Wow. Who's pretty hot, I gotta add.
You know what? She, in person, she is even more magnificent. It is unbelievable what Vinny got his hands on.
Yeah,
wow.
Good for him. And what Vinny's getting his hands on right now on their honeymoon.
Exactly. In fact, he's calling in from Jamaica. Vinny.
Oh, Vinny.
There he is. Vinny, how is Jamaica?
Oh, baby.
All right, he's a little busy.
Did you sample him?
No, that's him. He's on the line.
Is that really him?
Vinny.
Oh, baby.
All right, thank you. He's having fun. It's his honeymoon. It's allowed. So let me...
Good work.
If I can...
I have a question.
Yeah, you have a question. Go ahead.
What was her wedding song?
Well, I'm glad you asked. His wedding song actually was kind of controversial. I'll tell you what. First of all, I thought, being the music expert that he is, I thought he would choose something a little bit more out of the box. But this was his wedding song. Does it sound familiar to you yet? Can I sing it for you?
Of course, you can sing it for me anytime.
You are so beautiful.
That's not me. That's Joe Cocker. I pick it up a little bit later on. It was controversial because Vinny Bond is a huge Taylor Hicks fan. He's a huge member of the Soul Patrol. And Taylor Hicks does a rendition of this same song, yet for his wedding song, Vinny Bond went with Joe Cocker.
Soul Patrol, is that the name for Taylor Hicks fans?
That is one of the names for Taylor Hicks fans. The other name is the game office.
I guess Taylor Hicks was
so beautiful.
To me. Oops, that was dirty.
To me.
Yeah,
nice. You are
so beautiful.
That's right, you are the singer.
I'm harmonizing.
To me. Can't you see?
How about that? I'm not bad, right?
You know, it's all about interpretation.
I interpret myself as good.
I interpret you as exceptional.
Exceptional, thank you. The rest of the weekend was great. It was my first trip to Memphis, and I finally understand this song. And I'm gonna let me do it for you. You ready?
Right on.
This will.
Are you saying it?
I'm gonna sing part of it. I'm going to narrate through some of it. This is a big production. I saved
Very
it for
cool.
you, Colette, because you are a musical star. Now this will recap the entire weekend in Memphis, and then we can get to Josh Zuckerman.
Right on.
You're familiar with this song. I understand it now. I understand this song now.
You get it.
The blue suede shoes refer to Elvis's blue suede shoes that he sings about in that song. And Elvis is from Memphis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Touchdown in the land of the
blues, in the middle of the pouring rain. Now, it didn't rain when I was there, except for a... Briefly, while I was in the at the wedding, when we were at the wedding inside, it did rain, but I didn't really get wet. All right.
W.C. Handy.
W.C. Handy is like the godfather of the blues. I think I might have seen a statue of him on Beale Street. I'll get to Beale Street. I'll get to Beale Street in a second.
Okay.
I flew coach.
But I'm as blue as a boy can be. But I'm walking in Memphis. Walking with my feet 10 feet off a Beale.
And I'll tell you, in all the years I've heard this song, I never understood what he was saying there. He's saying 10 feet off of Beale. That's 10 feet off of Beale Street, which is their main entertainment capital there in Memphis. They close the street off. They let you walk around with alcohol. There's music blaring through all the bars. It's a lot of fun. It's the night scene.
Nice.
Beale Street. That's what he's saying.
You really get this song.
I get it. Oh, you have no idea.
But do I really feel the way I feel?
Saw the ghost of Elvis. Of course, Elvis is from Memphis. It's Elvis Presley. Union Avenue, I believe that's where Graceland is. See, I told you.
And I watched him walk right through. Not security, they did not see him. There's just her around his tomb. There's a pretty little thing waiting for the king down in the jungle room.
Now, the jungle room is a room right off of the kitchen in the mansion there at Graceland. In that jungle room, it's decorated like it's got shag rugs on the floor, on the ceiling. It's very, very tacky. I happen to like it. It was modeled after his love of Hawaii. He used to relax there, hang out with his friends there, and he also made it soundproof so he could also eventually record music there in the jungle room. All right? Now, everybody, break it down for me.
Walking
in Memphis.
Are we also saying?
Walking in Memphis.
Hey, y'all, this is Vinny Bond of the Radio Happy Hour, and you're listening to the Best of Blogstein 2009. We'll be back live and all new on Tuesday, January 5th, 2010. But until then, you can get the latest Radio Happy Hour news or catch up on any and all episodes from the past year at drblogstein.com. Hope you have a great Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Merry Kwanzaa, Happy Holidays. Let's get back to the show.
I need this place clean.
But I didn't make this mess.
If you didn't make this mess and I didn't make this mess, then who made this mess?
Clutter and dirt is mysteriously appearing in homes all over town.
I can't take this mess anymore.
Nerves are frayed. Relationships hang in the balance. Who could be evil enough to orchestrate this unprecedented grime spree?
Honey, are these friends of yours?
Shut the door now. It's Dust Bunny and her evil partner, Dust Clyde.
No, not Bunny and Clyde.
Bunny and Clyde are waging a war of clutter and mayhem, the likes of which have never been seen before. A battle that only one woman is brave enough to fight head on.
Look over there! It's the Gorton's fisherman! No. It's the cleaning lady!
No, I'm the fly lady!
Can one woman clean up the whole town?
Run, Clyde, it's the fly lady, and she has her feather duster!
Stop! I'll stick this feather duster where the sink don't shine!
Run!
Marla Silly is the fly lady.
Never fear, fly lady is here! I don't need no stinking dustbuster.
In Fly Hard.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mother Duster.
This summer, a mess only the fly lady can clean.
Say hello to my little friend.
Last week, we had, I had never gotten this much feedback from a show when we had the fly lady on the program, Marla Silly, the fly lady. A lot of really good feedback. People love the chemistry between us, and
ooh,
people love
chemistry.
Not that kind of chemistry. Just the,
okay.
I think people really like the tension of being worried that I was going to say something wrong and get myself thrown off the network. But we're very well behaved, Dangerous. I mean, we know how to do it.
Yeah. I mean, why would you get thrown off because of the interview you do with her? I mean, please give me a break.
Well, because, you know, she is very popular here at the Blog Talk Radio. She brings in a lot of listeners. I'm telling you why they would throw me off if I were to offend her.
I think if I
asked inappropriate questions or if I was offensive, which I really never am I?
No, I wouldn't say that you go out of your way to be offensive.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. I do it accidentally sometimes, but I don't go out of my way to do it.
You don't do it accidentally when you do it. You mean to do it when you do it, but you do it in the Dr. Blogstein way.
That's right. Whatever that way is, I do it in that way.
So
what do you want to hear? I know. What do you want to hear first? I have a fly lady on her own show talking about her experience on this show, or I also have another a show called BTR Insider talking about fly lady on Blogstein. What do you want to hear first, Dangerous?
You know what, baby? What do you want? Huh?
Make a choice.
What do you want?
I want you to make a choice. That's what I want.
Oh, just play the lady talking about you on the gossip side.
God, I mean, is it that hard? I give you two things to choose from. You can't choose one. All right, this is the fly lady on her own show talking about her experience on this show last week.
Dr. Blogstein, I was on his show the other night. It was good practice for me if I ever get on the David Letterman show. He was pretty tough interviewer. I'm not used to being interviewed. I'm used to being the interviewee on Blog Talk Radio. And he had some tough questions for me, but really boils down, he's looking for a woman, and he thinks a fly baby would make a good wife.
Well, of course. Don't you think?
He's hilarious. Anyway, I had a good time doing the show the other night. I didn't.
You did great.
I haven't told anybody. It took about an hour for my heart to quit pounding. I had so much fun with it. I actually had to drink a glass of wine to calm down.
Yay!
Right. Yay. The fly lady likes you.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you're late with the yay.
When I'm not set up for it, I'm not expecting it, and I can't do it. All right. Now here's.
You don't know when I'm doing the voice, man?
I do, but then I got to go back to the sound clip, and I'm already on to something else. We'll get it. We got a whole hour left of the show where we can get it done. Half hour, or whatever we have left. All right. Here is now a show called The BTR Insider on the Blogstein Fly Lady interview. This is Sean Daly, I believe, with Deb Ming.
Speaking of fun, of course, we have to mention the big meeting between Fly Lady and Dr. Blogstein. That was huge the other night.
Oh, my God. You know what? I love that show. I thought it was terrific. You could tell they were having fun. And who knew? It was a lot of fun. And if anybody's listening, Dr. Blogstein is looking for a fly baby of his own.
That's right.
So I'm just helping spread the word there.
I was worried when I first heard it. Marlo was going on with the blog scene. I'm like, oh no, what's going to happen here? But he was very respectful, very nice. He did ask her some tough questions. So he wouldn't be Dr. Blogstein if he didn't ask her some tough questions,
right.
Or get to question her and all that. So it was a great back and forth that they had. Nothing too controversial. Just he asked her some tough questions.
No, he was very respectful. There were tough questions, but he was respectful. He's a pro, and he wouldn't be disrespectful. We didn't think he would be anyway.
In our 2+ years that we've been doing this, I have never, and I'll tell you why, but I have never been this nervous before an interview.
Well, give me a break. Why?
And I'll tell you what. Well, look, first of all, we have the Fly Lady. Now, the Fly Lady is Blog Talk Radio's favorite child, and rightly so. She brought in probably the biggest audience that any other host has ever brought into Blog Talk Radio. She has thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands, probably close to 1 million what they call fly babies, who follow her advice in keeping home, keeping organized, just really follow her advice on women doing like they should, cooking, cleaning, dusting, making sure the husband is happy.
Oh,
now, what worries me is that she is such a favorite here at Blog Talk Radio. I feel like I'm playing Blog Talk Radio roulette. Like one false move, and suddenly I'm the number one host on TalkShoe.com.
Oh, please, honey, give me a break.
I'm sorry. I can't switch teams just like that. I'm sorry. You'll have to be gone without me.
You better not
screw up. I'll just take the Tuesday night at 9:00 Eastern time here on Blog Talk Radio over.
The Vinnie Bond Radio Happy Hour.
Yeah. So you just better not screw up, okay?
All right. So let's welcome in the Fly Lady. But first, I tried to impress her with quite a production for an opening. You ready for this, guys?
Absolutely.
You're all going to be jealous.
Woman, think it is shame, but I'm not whining, I'm sorry. I'm just a baby stepping and I'm not upset, and I'm sorry.
For a white guy, fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars. Oh, I want to get away.
Vinny?
Almost as good as the one you did for me.
Oh, that was a good one. Marla Silly, they call her the Fly Lady, or she calls herself the Fly Lady. Is it silly? Did I say it correct?
You said it correctly. Even when you mispronounce it, it's better than it really is.
Marla Silly is the Fly Lady. Now, did I describe what you do correctly?
Well, you sort of overstated my membership by about 500,000.
Okay, all right.
we hit 518,000 members this afternoon.
Well, congratulations. I thought you were a lot bigger than that. I'm a little disappointed.
That's 517,998 more than you.
Thank you.
Whoa.
But was I fair in what I described as your mission and your goal?
Oh, no. What I want women to do is to get rid of the clutter and the chaos so that they can find who they are. And when mama's happy, then papa's happy.
All right, so so I'm not that far off. See, here's my thing, and I'm torn, Fly Lady. I'm torn because I like you. I think you're such a sweet person, but I'm not 100% sure about what you're doing because to me, and tell me if I'm wrong. To me, it seems like you're saying that a woman's value and worth is based totally on whether they can keep house.
Okay, tell me this, Dr. Blogstein. You have this PhD behind you.
Yeah.
Isn't it important that women be happy?
Yeah, that's important.
Okay, now, if they're surrounded by guilt and clutter and chaos, they're not happy. And when women are not happy, they are less likely to make you happy. So doesn't it work that if my ladies are happy, then they are loving themselves, and when they love themselves, the whole world is a much better place to be in because there's nothing worse than a mama that's not happy.
No, that's true because I would say, and dangerously, she's a mama, and I would say that the mother, you know, I have a mother. We all have one at one point or another, and they probably do. You're right. They set the tone in the household.
Exactly.
But is it all based on clutter? And here's my thing. Like, what about a busy woman like Dangerous Lee who works from 6 in the morning to 9 at night, and then she comes and does the radio happy hour? When does she have time to do all this?
Well, I'm only asking for 15 minutes a day.
Oh, that's it?
That's it. Hey, I was written up in Fast Company magazine this weekend.
Oh, really?
In the Real magazine. I can not only help you get your house clean and get yourself looking pretty, pretty fly, if I do say so myself, then I can help you with your business as well. And when we've got a little more money, a little more happiness in our lives, hey, everything's good.
Are you? Do you still clean your house, your own
yes.
house?
Yes.
You do?
I have my morning routine. I make my bed as fast as I possibly can to get into the bathroom because, you know, you got to pee like a racehorse. And then in the bathroom, I swish and swipe. I get dressed all the way to lace-up shoes. I run into the living room, boot up my computer. While the computer is booting up, I make my cup of kick-butt coffee. And while the coffee is brewing, I dust-mop my floors and get things ready to go.
So this is your daily routine? Is that
That's my morning routine.
It seems a little obsessive.
It gets it out of the way so I don't have to answer the door in my gown tail.
But
it took me 15 minutes.
Doc, simple question.
Yeah.
You answer the phone in your apartment.
Me. You're talking
about
me.
Yes, you.
Yeah, okay.
Somebody says, hey, you got to call this person. It's real important. Do
okay.
you write the number down on the dust accumulated on your counter?
No, I don't. I keep a – but you know what?
Oh, let me ask you a question. Can you write it down on the dust that is
accumulated? That's a better question, Vinny.
Wow. No, you know what? My apartment is very, very clean, but I'm not ashamed to say I pay someone to do it.
Hey, well, she's a fly chick, huh?
Yeah, better man than I.
Are you against that, Fly Lady? Are you against paying someone to do that? Because I'm surprised that you, as successful, as busy, you're probably a multimillionaire by now.
Oh,
you
goodness,
still
no.
clean your own house. You still clean your own house.
Well, I take care of my house, yeah. That's just
you've never hired, you've never hired anybody?
Nobody can do it better than she can, you know?
Well, I like things done the way I like things done. I don't really like not having control of the switchboard since I do about 6 Blog Talk Radio shows a week. It's really hard for me to give up control. But my house is my home. It's actually my office, too. I have an assistant that comes to work at my house. My husband just retired from being a judge for 20 years. He's home all day long. And I actually have an office that I can go to, but I don't like working at the office. I can't get anything done there.
So we'll get to your husband in a second. But you, so you've never had a dinner party, and you've never had where you were so overwhelmed with stuff to do that you just brought someone in to help.
No, I can get the house clean. I have Thanksgiving dinner at my house. I have Christmas dinner. I had an impromptu dinner party 2 weeks ago, out of the clear blue. We'd made a big pot of chili and asked people over.
Nice.
And your house was clean, presentable,
and I have three dogs and two cats.
So I picture you running around like a chicken without the head, dusting things and cleaning and washing floors.
No, I feather dust a little bit every day.
That's it.
I have a wonderful feather duster that I designed, and it when you feather dust for two, it takes 2 minutes to feather dust my whole house. And when you do a little bit every day, you never have to see dust again. Now, you might lose those phone numbers you need to write down on the kitchen counter.
Now to your husband, because I'm reading in, and this is an old article, it's from 2007, Fortune Small Business Magazine.
Oh, the nasty one, huh? Fly Lady nags her way to millions?
Yeah, exactly. But the way they describe what you do is you send out these nagging emails all day.
They're reminders, but if it was to me,
I would see it as nagging.
Well, you didn't join up. It would be nagging to you.
You opt in.
If you opt in, you want these reminders. You're asking for. Well, now we tweet it. We've gotten high tech. We've gone with Twitter and Facebook, and we've got a little reminders that go out. One big list a day. Well, it's not a big list, but it sort of tells you what's happening on Blog Talk Radio, what your morning, afternoon, evening routine is, and we make it a lot of fun.
Let me get this straight. So you wake up, you turn on your computer, you do all your, you make your crazy coffee.
Well, I get dressed with lace up shoes before I turn my computer on.
You see, this is obsessive. I think this is, you built up, and I'm a little OCD myself, so I know it.
You're very OCD. You can tell. Yes, I can tell.
That takes about 3.5 seconds after meeting you, Doc.
Well, I have the rare combination of I'm a little OCD combined with some ADD. That's how you make a little doctor bee. But,
hey, I have 518,000 who are ADD.
Is that ADD? But it seems like you do everything in the same order. It seems so compulsive.
No, it's
obsessive.
It's
compulsive.
It's not obsessive. It's like dancing through your day. Do you like to dance?
No.
Oh, God. Yes, you do. You dance on the show.
You were
all
chair
the time.
Dancing while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, chair dances all the time.
All right.
Marla, a couple of questions from our chat room.
Okay.
Someone asked if you have kids. Someone did answer that they're older.
I have one child. He's his name is Justin, and he used to be a weatherman, so I'm wondering if he's your weatherman.
Oh, my God.
No, Marla, I guarantee you he is not the weatherman on our show.
He went to school at the University of Memphis, so.
Yeah, don't worry. It's not this guy. You don't want to claim this one.
Okay. Anyway, I have two grandchildren.
And the other question is, what if you're feeling sick? What does that do to your
routine? I want you to take care of yourself, but if you can get out of bed, you're going to have to get dressed.
And if you get out of bed and you get dressed and you have to dust and clean the sink.
No, I didn't say you had to do that. I said if you can get your butt out of bed, you have to put your shoes on and you have to get dressed. Now, you're welcome to lay back down on the couch. You can even take your shoes off and lay down on the couch. But if you get up, you're going to need to be dressed. That's the rule.
So you have to have your shoes on at a certain point of time during the day if you get out of bed.
If you're going to do your routine and you're going to be in the kitchen, I want your shoes on your pretty little toes. I've been barefoot my whole life, and if you don't tie those shoes to your feet, they're not going to stay on.
How's your husband, the judge, taking retirement? It's been he retired in December, right?
He retired the end of December. He's been home 6 weeks.
Are you driving him nuts, nagging him?
I don't nag. I don't even do honeydew jobs.
Okay, do you drive him nuts with your reminders?
No, I don't have to remind him to do anything.
He knows what to do, baby.
More importantly, now that he's been home for that period of time, is he driving you nuts?
No, he has a basement, a full level of the house that has an office and his workshop and a garage. And since he's been home, he's put a new engine in his Gator. He has a John Deere Gator that needed a new engine, and he got a retirement present of a wonderful camera that he's been taking lots of fun pictures, and he's just been keeping busy. My vice president, Kelly, has given him more honeydew jobs than I have.
So he pitches in okay? He's fine? He's worthy? He's worthy of being a fly guy?
Well, he is half owner in the company, after all, so he understands that Fly Lady is who I will be till the day I die.
Now, let's get to the bottom of this. How did you become Fly Lady? You grew up in the South, right?
Yes. I grew up in Tennessee.
in Tennessee, and you didn't become a fly lady until you were in your late 40s, early 50s.
43.
Define fly lady for those of us.
Well, I got my nickname because I used to teach fly fishing.
Oh, okay. So totally off of what I was thinking.
I used to teach fly fishing. If you go to my Facebook page, you can see a picture of me with my waders and my vest and my fly rod. And if you look at my cartoon character, you see that she has a fishing rod in her hand.
Mm-hmm. Right. So fly fishing teaching was one of your jobs. What other jobs did you have? You were into politics, right?
Oh, I was county commissioner for 6 years. I did my time.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
Hmm.
I'm really glad I'm not a county commissioner right now with the economy the way it is and all the bad things happening. So I'm very thankful not to be in politics right now.
Now, one of the things that struck me is you said that when you were in the, what were you, county commissioner?
In Transylvania County, North Carolina.
Transylvania, oh my
yeah.
God. And the other men on the board, it was you and a bunch of men, and the one thing you were worried about the men finding out was what?
That of my dirty little secret that I couldn't keep out.
Now why would a professional man in politics care about a professional woman's housekeeping?
That was my perception. Most women define themselves by how their home looks.
And don't you think
that
you're but aren't you perpetuating that by what you're by giving women chores and
now
telling them
how? Let me ask you a question.
See, I love how the fly lady loves to answer questions with other questions.
Well, I'm used to being a host, not a guest. So I'm gonna turn it around on you. Do you care about how your house looks before your housekeeper comes?
Do I care? Well, yes.
So you have to clean house before she comes.
I do. I don't clean. No. I don't like clutter. I don't like clutter, and I don't have piles of stuff. Yes, it gets dusty, and there are dust balls on the floor sometimes. I don't vacuum though.
Vinny. Do you care about how your home looks?
Sure, I do. I mean, I live by myself right now. I mean, I woke up Sunday morning and I grabbed my, not your duster, but my Swiffer duster, and I went through the hall upstairs of my apartment and, you know, clean the top of the fan and all the pictures that are on the walls and around the TVs and around my computers. And
good for
because
you.
I've been traveling for 2 weeks and it was dusty, and I just, you know, I need to feel comfortable.
That's good.
But I did when I was married and we had a cleaning lady coming into the house, I felt ridiculous to me that we had to clean before she came, and then after she left we'd clean because she didn't do what we wanted to clean. So it's like, well, why bother paying the money if they're not going to do what you want? I mean, I have a mother who I love dearly who has always kept an immaculate house.
Now, Dangerously, let me ask you something, honey. How do you feel about your home?
If it's not clean, I'm frustrated.
You're frustrated.
Mhm. Yeah.
No guy likes a frustrated woman. Let me tell
you.
That.
Right.
So this is why I do what I do, because I want women to be free. And building a structure of routines are not a straitjacket. They help us to get the things done. So, because all we really want to do, Dr. Blogstein, is go out and play.
Yeah.
That's all we want to do. And when we can get our homework done, we can go play.
Yeah, of course. But so I can boil all of this down, and maybe my suspicions are correct. This is all for the man.
No.
No.
Not necessarily.
We have a lot of members that aren't married.
Oh, yeah? But it's to make themselves happier, less frustrated, and more presentable to a future man.
It's to be more presentable to themselves, because if mama's happy, everybody's happy.
Yeah, and she'll attract
the kids are happy. Her maid is happy. Whoever she's around, her friends are happy. She's nicer to everyone that she meets during the day if she's happy. And if you're the place where you live, it makes you frustrated. You walk out into the world and you give a frustrated appearance to the world.
before, because you became Fly, or what we know as Fly, in your 40s, right?
Yes.
What was home life before that? Were you,
well, when Robert and I got married in 1996, he had a house full of clutter, and I had a house full of clutter. We got married and put that clutter together, and then we went to estate auctions and bought more. And you could not walk through our house for boxes and boxes and boxes. I had those aisles going. I mean, you got up in the middle of the night, and you had to be careful that you didn't trip over something in the middle of the night. We don't have that anymore. We have a home that blesses us day in and day out. Even the basement is organized.
Because the judge isn't your first husband, right? You were married twice before?
Yeah.
Did housekeeping issues play any part in those marriages ending? Is that why you really got into this?
Let me tell you what those marriages did. Every bad thing that's ever happened to me has made me who I am today, which I am very blessed to have been married to those two men because I learned great lessons. But what I learned from them is I didn't love myself when I married them. I married them for the wrong reasons. So I blame myself for the problems in the marriage because I didn't love me. I love me now. I loved me when I met Robert, but I didn't know how deep that I loved myself. And loving yourself is not a bad thing.
No, that's not a bad thing. Sometimes that's all I have, Fly Lady.
What I'm learning in the chat room, Doc, is Fly Lady, Fly, finally loving yourself.
That's what Fly stands for?
Yeah.
That's what the people in the chat room are talking about. That's what Fly stands for.
You got
and then I have a question.
Had a double meaning. Okay.
Yeah. And then I have a question from the chat room. How many mother-in-laws stay happy because the daughter-in-law is doing something right?
She's taking care of the kids. She's taking care of herself, and the kids are happy. That's wonderful.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I still have yet to please my mother-in-law, but she still thinks this is a hobby for me and that I'm wasting all of my husband's money.
why are your feather dusters $52.45? That seems like a very expensive feather duster.
That's two of them together.
Still, I mean, that's an expensive feather. Are they special?
Yes, they're special. They make you feel like $1 million when you use them. And
Hey,
I cornered the market on the feathers that go in those things. And the reason I cornered the market is because the same feathers that are used in my feather dusters are also used in Las Vegas showgirl costumes.
Really?
Oh, look at you. Sexy.
This is the sexiest feather duster ever made.
All right, that's I guess that is, but two of them for $52, that's like my math, carry the one. That's like $30.
$85 each.
That's like $85
each. $14.95. And the small one, it does a great job, too. But for those that are vertically challenged, we have a longer one.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Raising my hand.
Yeah. So now I understand why they're $52. Are they battery operated?
They are not battery operated. You're supposed to use a little elbow grease on those.
Elbow.
Don't go there, Doc.
I'll hang up on him if he goes there.
I know.
Southern lady, and you've got 91 people in your chat room right now.
No, I know.
You could be abused for the rest of your life if you get there.
They will take it personally if you miss.
No, I gotta tell you. Before the interview, Marla said to me, the Fly Lady said, "I've only had one bad interview in my life." I said, "What made it bad?" She said, "Oh, there was one radio host that was all full of sexual innuendos," and I crossed out about five or six feather duster jokes right after that.
Oh.
But I do think that you should do matchmaking because I would want to marry a fly baby.
Oh, really?
I think
your fly baby wants you.
I'm a real fixer-upper. But no, seriously, I think for better or worse, you are training fantastic wives, and I want one. You should do matchmaking.
I'm training fantastic women.
Women.
Right, and wouldn't I want a fantastic woman to be my wife?
Yeah, well, but you're going to end up with the fly baby duster in your hand helping her, Dee.
Hi, this is the Burl from the Radio Happy Hour, and you are listening to the best of Blogsteen 2009. We're all going to be taking a little time off and basking in the warm sunshine since Dr. Blogsteen is so graciously flying us down to the Caribbean for a much-needed rest. We'll be drinking mojitos and... What? He's not paying for the trip? We're supposed to pay for ourselves? Hey, this is the Burl from the Radio Happy Hour, and I'll be freezing my cojones off while we wait to come back with live, all-new shows on Tuesday, January 5th, 2010. Until then, you can catch up on any of the shows you might have missed over the past year at drblogsteen.com. That's drblogstein.com. Now back to the program. Where's my coat?
Candace Cameron Bure, welcome to the Radio Happy Hour.
Thank you. Hello, darling.
You're on with
Hello.
Me, Dr. Blogsteen, the beautiful Dangerous Lee, and Vinnie Bond is in our interactive chat room.
Well, I'm trying to get there.
Okay, he'll be getting there. And if people who are listening live have questions for you, he will relay it to me. Gotcha? Got it?
Okay. Got it.
All right. I
want
to do something that I've really never done here on this program before. I want to sing to you just to prove something.
Lord have mercy.
You ready?
Yeah.
someone's regretting making a phone call, huh? Whatever happened to predictability? The milkman, the paperboy, and evening TV. You know, I always thought it was even MTV, but the words are actually evening TV.
Evening TV, that's right.
Yeah, do you know the rest of the words?
How does it go?
Let me help you out.
Something living here. Somebody tell me, please. This old world confusing me.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't sing.
Evening
oh
TV.
My God.
There we are.
Okay.
Of course, the song is the theme song to Full House, the show that made you a household name, Candace, right?
Yep.
Do your kids watch it? Because it really is this generation's Brady Bunch.
Yeah, my kids do watch it. They have a fun time watching it. They love Michelle on it.
Do they? Do they? How old are they?
My kids are 10, 9, and 7.
So,
oh, Lord. Wow. Jeez.
Yeah, because...
Time flies when you're having fun.
Right, so they're are all three of them able to actually grasp the fact that that's you on that show? That's mommy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they totally get it. And they have fun watching it. I don't think it's really a big deal to them that I'm on it. They just think it's a funny show.
Yeah, well, it is a funny show. And you would agree, it's this generation's Brady Bunch, huh?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because we have a whole new generation of fans. We have a couple generations of fans already, but that's why Full House is great. It's classic in the sense that your kids can watch it, and as a parent, you're not concerned about the content if something's not appropriate for them, and that's why those kind of shows will last in the long run.
Now your new show, Make It or Break It, which premiered last night, and I watched it, and it's really good. I think you have a hit on your hands. How did it do last night?
Thanks. We were so excited, and you know the ratings came back today, and they were great.
I think
it came in as the most watched premiere on ABC Family, and I think the second highest rated show ever. So for the network, they knocked it out of the park. We were all excited, and the reviews were good, and we're having fun making the shows, and they keep. You know, each episode really is getting better and better. So I hope people will keep tuning in and watching.
Yeah, I can't wait to continue to keep track of what's going on. It's got you. It's got the woman from Frasier. It's got beautiful young ladies in tight clothing, so that'll get the boys watching. It's got like all that emotional stuff, so that'll get the girls watching. It's on right after that hit show, The Secret Life of the American Teenager. So you're in a cush spot.
We are.
We are. It's a good thing.
All right. You mind if we take a phone call real quick?
Sure.
All right. This is Stephen Stevenson calling from California. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Stephen Stevenson. I'm a television critic.
Yes, Stephen.
Hi.
Southern Press.
What's
he
up?
He's impressed.
Oh, he's impressed. Oh,
I didn't catch that either.
Okay, so Stephen Stevenson, the television critic, says that he's impressed.
Oh, with the show?
Yes, I saw the premiere of Make It or Break It on ABC Family. And I have to tell you, Candace, you look gorgeous as ever.
Thank you.
And I just responded to the flips and the jumps and the gymnastics that the girls do. The show is cut together marvelously. I'm telling you, a lot of times you see those stunts and you say, oh, that's the stunt person, let's cut back to the actress. But in this, it is just seamless. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I thought so too. I thought they did a really nice job editing the show. I saw an earlier version, too, of the pilot, and even since that earlier version, they really tightened it up, and I thought it just, it was wonderful.
Oh, and speaking of tightened up, I thought the boys on the show were terrific. you know, there's something for everybody on this series.
Well, I'm glad you liked it.
Thank you. I was bursting at my buttons watching this show.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks for your call.
Is there...
Candace?
Yes. Is it a
pain?
You know what? It was that last thing you just... You know, listen.
All right,
you are a goober head.
So you see what happened here, guys, is that was Dave Coulier, who played Joey on Full House, calling in to surprise Candace.
Why didn't I even get that from Steve Stevenson?
I thought that was made up.
Well, I figured it was, but, oh, Dave, you totally got me.
What's up, guys? This is Colette of the Radio Happy Hour, and you're listening to the best of Blog Scene 2009. We'll be back live and all new on Tuesday, January 5th, 2010. Until then, you can get the latest Radio Happy Hour news or catch up on any and all episodes from the past year at drblogstein.com. That's drblogstein.com. Now, back to the show.
Dustin Diamond from Saved by the Bell is here with us right now. Hey, Dustin.
Hey, Doc. What's up?
How are you, my man?
Pretty good.
You wrote this book, Behind the Bell, where you go into everything that happened behind the scenes at everyone's favorite Saved by the Bell, right?
Yes.
All right, we'll get to that in a sec. What are you doing now? You're doing stand-up?
Yep, 47 weeks a year.
Very nice. No, you know, it's interesting how, like, all the oddball characters from sitcoms end up doing stand-up. You and Skippy from Family Ties does stand-up, and Kramer does stand-up.
Yeah, and the other guy, Cotter, actually does stand-up as well.
Oh, does he? Gabe Kaplan.
Yeah, it was Gabe Kaplan, that's right. I know that, I should have known the name. It was a little bit before my time, though. I was born in 77, so.
Yeah, before my time, too. But you know what the three of us have in common, me, you, and Gabe Kaplan? We all have the same haircut.
Part of the tribe.
Exactly. We all have the Jufro. You're not doing any acting anymore, though.
No, I am. It's just, you know, for a while there, the acting things that would come across my desk, the scripts, they would be all basically just reiterations of the same Screech thing. You know, and
yeah.
I can't pop off Saved by the Bell and then go immediately into, you know, portraying a Screech character and then do another Screech character. That would have been worse than just laying low and doing stand-up. Yeah, now I do a lot of independent films. I do, like, really odd, quirky roles, things that pop up that are not so much in the Hollywood radar, but in the indie circuit, you know, they're doing real well. I mean, I played a transvestite Puerto Rican prostitute named Simone in a film called Jane White is Sick and Twisted, and that was a really fun character to play. Colin Mockery from Whose Line Is It Anyway, and it was like a Mr. Leather ball gag in the mouth slave guy. It was like really, you know, really outrageous comedy. But don't even try to get me to explain the storyline.
But I'll tell you, because I'll tell you what, the more I you know, I watch you doing interviews and hear you, I think Seth Rogen stole your career.
You think? Well, you know what? Seth Rogen, I've heard that we sound similar and that we look similar. I don't think so. I think he's a lot bigger than I am. He's more knocked out than I am. And I don't think we sound alike. But, yeah, he's also, you know, I mean, every actor does, he hits big and then does films, but then there's some flops, you know, like Observe and Report wasn't a great movie. But, you know, the 40-Year-Old Virgin, I thought he was funny in that. And, you know, and it's the same thing happens with everybody. It's like, you know, Christian Slater, he's doing all these great things. He's got this new TV series, but we saw Alone in the Dark. You know, it's, I think all actors have to go through that.
Why were you not on the People Magazine cover story when they did the Saved by the Bell reunion?
Oh, easy, because I had a sold-out theater, and I didn't want to give up, you know, what, 1,800 seats, whatever it was, you know, sold-out, you know, audience members to fly myself out to take a quick, you know, okay, thanks for coming out, done, with a cast that's pushing 40 on Saved by the Bell, when NBC has a stock room, you know, of over 10 years of footage, and it's just going to be a blurb that passes in and passes out. I released the book so they get a little bit of heat, they get a little bit of press off the burnout from what I'm doing, and it's like, okay, well, you know, here's what they were, what are they doing now, a short little paragraph. Okay, next week, Angelina's adopting another Ukrainian baby, and it's forgotten about. You know.
So you just didn't want to give up what you were doing, drop everything for People Magazine.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to People Magazine lots, and it's nothing. You know, there's no animosity or anything like that. I mean, I actually called and talked to them, but it's just to fly all the way out there just for, you know, a photo shoot. It's, you know, nah.
All right, let's go. Let's get into all this stuff in the book. Let's try to hit everybody. Mark Paul Gosselaar. Douche.
What about him? you want tidbits from each?
Well, I want to know. Is he, you call him a douche?
Well, Mark Paul was the golden child. Okay, he was, you know, he was the favored one of the show, and it wasn't his fault. You know, I mean, being a kid, you know, thrust into a show, and all of a sudden Peter Ankles, you know, got his hand on, you know, creeping up, you know, Mark Paul's shoulder, going, you know, that's my boy. You know, you're bringing it home for Peter. You know, and you know, it's clearly he was, you know, you follow the hand that feeds, and then went to Mark Paul. But you know, the more interesting stories that are out there. There's stuff that never made the light of day that I think, you know, fans of the show would be interested in knowing. We did a Circus of the Stars back then. A lot of celebrities would do it from shows. And Mark Paul and Mario and I went to do it. I wanted to do tightrope. I thought that'd be fun. Mark Paul and Mario wanted to do trapeze. During one of the practices, Mark Paul fell and didn't hit the net. Fell, landed upside down on his neck, broke his sternum with his chin.
Ow.
We were out of commission, out of production for 6 months. We thought he killed himself. I mean, it was horrendous. And I cover that and all that in more detail in the book, which is interesting. Mario, you know, when the girl came out of the woodwork and accused him of rape, that never made the E! True Hollywood story, and that was a huge thing because, you know, you talk about trials and tribulations child stars have to go through. This is before Twitter and YouTube and iPhone cameras and all this other stuff, TMZ and all that. Like there was more you could get away with, but you had to be careful. I mean,
yeah. Why didn't that get out? Because that's huge. Rape allegations are huge.
NBC squashed that. NBC put that thing to bed, and it was there was some dealings that went on. You gotta. The juice is in the story. That's the whole thing. If you jump to the end of the story, you miss the entree. So that's one for the books. But I cover that in there in detail. That's that was one where Mario sighed a huge breath of relief when that was done.
Well, you know, the Mario Lopez revelations were the ones that baffled me the most, because I'll be honest. To me, I always thought he was gay, and the fact that he was such a womanizer surprised me.
Well, you know, I mean, it's. Mario liked, showing off, you know, his physique to people, and he'd show it off to anybody. you know, he'd pump weights and he'd scream and, you know, how do I look? How do I look? The audience is out there, you know, I gotta, you know, gauge my muscles. How do I look? Like, anybody that screams when they work out, you gotta wonder, like, dude, what's wrong? Why are you screaming when you do a curl? You know, but, yeah, Mario definitely spread his charms around Hollywood.
Even to some of the executives, right?
You know, Mario was, Mario didn't have a fence up around him. he would do, I mean, a lot of people in Hollywood, you know, would go out and, you know, just kind of mingle with whoever could, you know, might be beneficial to their career. I mean, it's a seedy industry, you know, you never know why someone's talking to you, why they're not. Could be innocent, could be totally scandalous. But, you know, Mario made sure that he was, you know, at all the parties and, you know, in plain view of everyone at the party, you know what I mean?
Right. What was left for you in terms of the girls? You got the leftovers?
No. You assume, like, Mario's some sort of god, that, you know, that suggests that he's some sort of, like, he walks into a room and the world falls to him, which would also leave you out and all of your friends and everyone you know. I mean, it's like, you know, it's not really that cut and dry. Mario had, you know, definitely had that look. He was older. He had the dimples. He worked out more, but I was smooth, and I made girls laugh, and that went a long way, too. I didn't rack up my numbers by you know, failing at the pickup, and I just chose a different route I thought was more safer. I mean, I went for the girls that were extras, you know, the girls that were behind the scenes, guest stars, things like that, you know what I mean?
Right. And that's smarter, though. You don't have to see them.
Like a smorgasbord.
Yeah, but you don't have to see them the next week also, so that's a smart way of doing it.
Unless you want to.
That's true. Before Mark holds the record, he got both Kelly and Jesse, right?
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. On the show, when you saw someone making out with someone else, usually it kind of followed backstage. Art imitated life quite a bit, life imitated art quite a bit, rather. But, I mean, if you want to know how many swaps were going on, I mean, look, just watch the show. I mean, tell me how many each week there was, you know, somebody was kissing somebody else, somebody was making out with somebody else. So, yeah, there was a lot of dressing room musical doors that was going on.
So that said, did you get Dory Spelling?
Wow, my friend, you got to read the book.
You're not going to tell us? The book, by the way, is Behind the Bell.
Give the milk for free?
Why not? When was the last time you had any contact with anybody from the cast?
I've seen Mario and Mark Dennis Atkins around a little bit. I talked to Lark not, you know, too terribly long ago, but it was a weird conversation, you know, like ever since the commentaries that we did, you know, they met up with Peter Engel and Dennis and Lark and I and for the second box set that came out, and you know, there's a whole chapter devoted to it. I mean, she was just kind of in a different place, like, just, you know, really, it's like you ever go over to a friend's house and they got a dog and you're like, hey, puppy, and you go to pet the dog and the dog flinches and cowers away and you're like, oh, who's beating the dog? You know, and you, like, and somebody's hitting the dog, I think. You know, it's kind of like,
so she was a little skittish.
Your own assessments away from it, but. You know, yeah, it was awkward, you know, but, yeah, Dennis and Mario have been fine. I talked to them. They were doing some, you know, college appearances and stuff like that, and I do the stand-up circuit 47 weeks out of the year.
Jesus for 2010! Hey, everybody, this is Justin, the Malfinator of the Radio Happy Hour, and you're listening to the best of Blogspin 2009. The hell happened to 1984? It's 2009 already? I'm so confused, everybody. Well, as you know, we will be back live and all new on Tuesday, January 5th, 2010. I can't believe it's going to be 2010. Until then, you can get the latest Radio Happy Hour news or catch up on all the old episodes from the year at drblogstein.com. That's drblogstein.com. Now back to the program show. All the best. Happy New Year.
I do want to say, and by the way, I do not, my man, Demond Wilson. Demond? Demond Wilson. He was due to call in, what, like 6 minutes ago? He's either late or a no-show.
Oh, Demond has not called in.
He's either late or a no-show. And I was all excited to play the theme music. I love that theme music. Last week we played the Young and the Restless music, and I said that was one of the best TV theme songs. But
Should we maybe talk about this band that exists in Helena, Montana?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Tell them about your discovery.
I'm very excited. Well, first of all, I really hope Demond calls in because I need to let him know that this band exists.
But you know what? If he doesn't call in a way, we still have Demond Wilson on the show because we're going to talk about Demond Wilson.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. We can play Demond Wilson. Can you play Demond Wilson's music?
Yeah, I was about to pull some of it up.
So check it out. I went on Google because, you know, I want to see if I could, like, Google any fun facts, you know, like his appendix burst when he was 12. I know that from Wikipedia, if that's actually true. and I came across this band named Demond Wilson. Now, they're from, I don't know if it's Helena or Helena, Montana. And they describe their sound as black metal, progressive, ghetto tech, which is awesome. So anyway, go to their site. And, you know, they don't really have that many fans. They have, like, 126 friends. So I'm basically expecting them to suck ass, which is me. You know. Oh, and they have a project out. I don't know if that's the name of, like, a different band or the name of their record, but it's called Jesus Fist 666.
But, so that's the name of their album, Jesus 6?
Yes. And I don't know if Demond would really enjoy that because I know he is a man.
I'm thinking that.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe we don't bring that part up to him. But yeah, so they have a EP or a project out called Jesus Fist. And the first song that I heard on Demond Wilson's MySpace page was Weeping and Gnashing of Teeth.
Okay, so let me see. So let's put them on the map. All right. If we're not gonna have one Demond Wilson on the show, we're gonna have this Demond Wilson on the show. Here is Weeping,
absolutely,
and Gnashing of the Teeth. How does this work here? Oh, here it is.
I'm so excited.
You hear it okay?
I hope this works.
Are you hearing it?
I don't hear it at all.
You don't hear it at all?
No. Hear it a little bit.
Let me see how I can make it louder here.
It sounds like a fly is buzzing around your microphone.
Yeah, that's what it is. There's a fly in the background. A fly sound effect. Here, let me see if I can find it here with more volume. Weeping. Here it is. It's Weeping and Gnawing, or whatever it's called, is the bonus track on
Gnashing.
Gnashing is the bonus track on this album.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Ooh.
All right, here it is. Better? Or no?
I hear it a little bit. I'm not sure how it is to video. To attack you. Do you know what to do
and how to stop them? Now do you hear it?
I hear it.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Do you love to serve only Jesus? So badass.
It's very hardcore. There's like power tools and like, machinery.
I feel like I want to go press preteen
mosh.
Yeah, definitely moshing music.
No.
Colin, does it get any better? Should I move the song along?
What, you mean that wasn't musical business?
All right, I'm going to try Last Supper Dance Party. This is Demond Wilson. Last Supper Dance Party. Demond Wilson from Helena. Where's Helena?
Montana.
All right, here we go. By the way, I love how Colette can pronounce Demond Wilson, but didn't know how to pronounce Helena, Montana. This I like. This I like. There doesn't seem to be singing in this album. It seems to be mostly...
I have not located any singing at this time.
Okay, so it's just basically noise.
It doesn't mean that I didn't get in depth. At the moment, I have not discovered any singing. I might email them up, see if they need a singer. I might be a guest vocal. this could be my new direction.
They seem to be signed to a label, or so it says. It's called Drunker Quicker Music.
I don't think it's a real label. Wait.
But
I'm going to Google that.
But it makes sense. The more you drink, at least the better this probably sounds.
Better sounds?
Yeah. Let me. I'm going to give it one more try. I'm going to play track number 17. Meat is Murder, Damon Wilson. Meat is Murder. This sounds like a dentist's office. There's animal sounds.
Dude, they rock.
I love this.
I love it. I think it's amazing.
Well, you know what? It's got me hooked because I'm waiting for something to happen. And it sounds like it's about to happen. This is Meat is Murder by Damon Wilson. Not the Damon Wilson you're probably tuned in for.
You know what, though? We delivered Damon Wilson. And at the end of the day, that's what matters.
Exactly. At the end of the day, we had Damon Wilson.
Oh, Doc, can I please request one more Damon Wilson song?
What?
Can you please play one more Damon Wilson song?
One more? Okay, I'll give you a choice.
Please, Freak That Bitch Out tone.
Oh, you had a choice already. Okay, this is...
I did, yeah. I it was planned.
All right, the final Damon Wilson song that I will be playing. Freak That Bitch Out tone.
1974 is the year that they are now planning for... sex on the street in every major city from coast to coast.
I'm not taking a chance on some motherfucker. She's an ex-gangster. Or whatever, that case is blood. If you guess, we use the word nigger sometimes here. I'm not going to take a chance ever in life of losing everything I've worked for 30 years because some nigger heard us say nigger and heard us say the inquiry our career is over. At least this day later, we would all say fuck you. And you know that. The police have brought the black guy home, yeah, and it's not that they're black, it's not that, it's that we use the word nigger, we don't mean you f***ing scum nigger without a soul.
Is this racist music?
I hope not, because that would really suck if I exposed the world to that. I don't want to do that. That would really suck.
I think we should figure out what this music is before we... are pimping out this band.
Doc, I just got so excited that there was a Damon Wilson band from Helena, Montana. I mean,
you'd think Montana, it would be safe.
Yeah, right?
Like 5 minutes before the show.
It could be the headquarters of the KKK in Montana. Isn't that where the Unabomber hides?
Oh my God.
Oh boy. So you know what? We gave you Damon Wilson, whether you like it or not.
We did. And for those of you that have fallen in love with Damon Wilson, you can visit them at myspace.com/Damon Wilson. And you can also, they have a free downloadable album, The Jesus Fist Studies. Which
wait, they're not charging for that? Are you kidding?
Thank you for listening to part one of the Best of Blogsteam 2009. Tune in next week for the second part, and then, on January 5th, 2010, Dr. Blogsteam, Colette, Vinnie Bond, The Burl, and Justin the Mouthinator will be back with a whole new year of the Radio Happy Hour. Until then, have a Merry Christmas, and
piss on your shoes.